You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
Epiphanies.
Heart of the community. The next idea.
Good ideas normally come from the collision between smaller hunches so that they form something bigger than themselves.
As the next idea continues to explore innovation in Michigan, it's pretty clear that amidst the new technology and new breakthroughs, there are some timeless concepts. One of those concepts was neatly summed up by Ralph Waldo Emerson. Here's what he said. If a man has good corn or wood or boards or pigs to sell or can make better chairs or knives, crucibles or church organs than anybody else, you will find a broad, hard-beaten road to his house, though it be in the woods. And that was pretty much the key to success of a Michigan inventor, businessman, and innovator named Webster Marble. His company, Marble Arms, was the outdoor recreational supply company in the 1920s and 30s. Marble knives and compasses traveled to the North Pole with Robert Peary. They went hunting with Teddy Roosevelt and flew with Charles Lindbergh. The Michigan Historical Museum in Lansing has opened an exhibition focusing on Webster Marble. Dennis Pace is the guest curator of the exhibit called Inventing the Outdoors. Dennis is also a member of Capital Community Angel Investors. Welcome to The Next Idea, Dennis.
Cindy, it's great to be here.
Tell us more about just who Webster Marble was.
Well, Webster Marble is probably the greatest Michigan inventor and entrepreneur that nobody's ever heard of.
What set him apart from his contemporaries?
Well, first of all, he had a fascinating background. He came to Michigan. His father brought the family to Michigan in 1869 when Webster was 15 years old. And Webster was trained as a surveyor and a timber cruiser. Timber cruiser goes out for timber companies, maps and assesses stands of lumber, works alone, tells the timber companies how many board feet of this species or that species they have, assesses potential profitability, and spends weeks and months living out of a backpack and living off the land, carting surveying equipment around in the wilderness. It's a fascinating job.
Yes, really. So really in the woods.
And while he's doing this, and this is what's so interesting, because we've seen his journals, in his journals, he not only is doing his day-to-day work for the timber companies, but he's noting with great exactness all of the problems he's finding with the gear he's using, whether it's knives or compasses or matches that get too wet to light a campfire or the guns he's carrying. And he begins to sketch out the very rudimentary ideas of different inventions, which then, later on, he turns into products.
So he saw, like a good innovator, he saw a need and then put his brain to work.
Absolutely. And his career takes him, as the great forests of Michigan are cut, he moves throughout the lower peninsula and finally ends up in Gladstone, Michigan, in the upper peninsula. And he stops timber cruising. He has a family at this point. He opens up a sawmill, and he opens up a little company to make gun sights, which is one of the things that he thought about a lot while he was in the woods. But then the panic of 1893 happens. The economy tanks. He has to close both of his businesses, and he goes back to timber cruising.
Huh.
5 years later, the economy settles down. He starts a new company, and he starts it with an idea he has for a safety pocket folding axe. And he starts up this company, and then something absolutely remarkable happens. The company doubles, and it doubles, and it doubles in size again. And Webster is spinning out these ideas. He's 45 years old at this point.
Yeah.
He's been thinking about this a long time. So he ends up with ideas for hundreds of products. He holds over 60 patents. And by the time the first Model T rolls off the line in Detroit, Webster Marble and his company are a household name, and he is selling products to millions of outdoor enthusiasts all over the world, all of them from a state-of-the-art company up in Little Gladstone, Michigan.
What do you think has drawn you so much to his legacy and to Webster Marble?
Well, there are two things, Cindy. First of all, I spent my career in marketing and advertising, and Webster was a brilliant marketer. He understood the forces of America that were making people turn, really for the first time, to the outdoors to seek recreation. So he looks out over America and he sees that the country is turning from a rural country to an urban society. And then all of these people are living in cities, they're working in factories, they're working in desk jobs, they're living in houses and apartments without air conditioning, and it's hot and the summers are long, and they all want to get outside. And he sees other things happening. He sees scouting come into the country and sees summer camps starting and sees people more and more turning to the outdoors for recreation. And then he sees the railroads and then the automobiles that give people a way to get there. So he sees this market developing, and suddenly his ideas have a platform that he can sell them to.
Well, you have, through the years, amassed a considerable collection of Webster Marble's legacy, and you've handed it over to the Michigan Historical Museum for this exhibition that's going to be opening this Saturday. Tell us, what are some of the highlights?
Some of the highlights are the products that Webster made, and these are simply beautiful pieces of outdoor gear. They're best in breed. There are dozens of different outdoor knives for different uses. There are things as simple as a waterproof matchbox to keep your matches dry, or waterproof compasses. Remember, we're talking about life in the woods and outdoor recreation 100 years ago.
Right.
There's, you know, safety folding products of all kinds, and fishing gear and firearms. So there's this beautiful array of products, and these are laid against several other stories. The stories of the dawn of outdoor recreation in Michigan, which is really the first seeds of pure Michigan establishing itself 100 years ago.
Sure enough.
And secondly, this incredible story, which to me is almost a how-to manual for young entrepreneurs.
In fact, we talk a lot about entrepreneurship on The Next Idea. And I know, Dennis, you are an angel investor, so that means you invest in and support new startups. What do you think Michigan entrepreneurs today can learn from what Webster Marble did a century or so ago?
Well, this was one of the revelations for me as I was working on the exhibit. I suddenly realized that another audience for this exhibit really should be young entrepreneurs, because there are lessons that they can learn from Webster. One of the most important, and this is one that I often share with young entrepreneurs who come to present to us, is solve real problems. I would rather hear about the problem you're going to solve than your product. In fact, I have to hear about that problem first. Webster understood the problems of outdoor recreation and living in the woods and camping and hunting and fishing because he did it for 20 years. A second one is to have a constant stream of ideas. If you look back at the history of Webster's company, they introduced hundreds and hundreds of products. Some of them succeeded wildly. Others stayed in a catalog for a year or two or were discontinued, but he continued to innovate. So there's this constant stream of new products. Another lesson would be to be resilient in the face of failure. He started two companies. The economy tanked. He had to close them. He had a plan B. He had a fallback. He could do something else, but as soon as conditions turned around, he came back. Another lesson from Webster would be that not all money is good money. Too oftentimes, young entrepreneurs will turn to means of financing where either the strings attached can bind them a little too tightly, or the people providing the money can want a little too much control. Webster was really smart. He needed capital for his new firm. He turned to a fellow named Frank Van Cleve, who was one of the founders of Gladstone, also a bank president, and a very enthusiastic outdoorsman. So he had a partner who was interested, and that meant patient money. He also had a partner who was invested in the community, so he could see what Webster was doing in terms of jobs and helping the region as well as making a profit.
Some fascinating lessons, and as you say, so applicable to entrepreneurs today. So it's very worth your time to make your way to the Michigan Historical Museum in Lansing, the new exhibit, Inventing the Outdoors. It opens this Saturday. It'll be open until next September 11th. And we've been talking to the guest curator of the exhibit, Dennis Pace. Thank you so much for introducing all of us to, as you say, Webster Marble, one of the most innovative men we've never heard of.
Thank you, Cindy.
Support for the next idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.